guy.
Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking gay persons to change and be straight. How you doing? The world is getting closer and closer to what we would call the tribulation period. And lots of you are not quite ready for this period of time, because there's something that's going to happen which you're not prepared for, because you're not watching. You're not realizing what's about to happen. See, Satan is a counterfeiter. And counterfeit means you make something that looks like the real thing, like the original. And Satan wants to counterfeit God. You got the Bible, you got Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, you got God's people, and you got so many things, as we read throughout the Bible, that Satan wants to counterfeit. He wants you to believe he's the real thing. And so, how do you think that you get human beings to believe stuff? Faith is something that's kind of interesting. We always like to say we come to Jesus by faith, not by something that we see with our eyes. However, all the faith you have is not preparing you for what is to come. Because somehow or another, you don't realize the strength of your five senses, and there's actually more senses than just five. You don't understand that if these senses that you have start to be activated by the surroundings, you will begin to believe what your senses are telling you, no matter how much you desire this idea of having faith in Jesus Christ. Right now, and for the past 2,000 years, there have been no Christian that has not had the water. And this water is about to be turned off. The two witnesses are going to shut the water off. He says they will command the rain not to come down. You know, that for their ministry. And you can play games with this idea of rain. You can play games with this thing that it seems like so many Christians love, and that is, we're not going to be in the tribulation, so who cares about the water? That's not how the Bible works. That's how your pastor works. That's how the masons that are working with your pastor teaches them. Yeah, people, Christianity, that's something that Satan wants to get into and control. And he's very good at that. Why? Because we like to believe our pastors. We don't like to go home and study to see if the pastor can keep the amen you are giving him, or if that you should take the amen back. But how many of you go home and you study what the pastor just taught you to see if it was real or not? How many of you took time to find out about the Bible that you read? Is it really the Word of God, or is it a Satan counterfeit? You could find this out. You're not going to find out by listening to the advertisements of various versions of the Bible. Because the advertisements are going to tell you all kinds of enticing things to make you think that Bible's the best. And then all these various ministers out there have commentaries that they make on the various Bibles that are out there. But you can study. You can watch. You can see. You can read. All manner of things, pro and con. You're not limited just to what your pastor says or just what the priest says in the modern version that you have. You can actually go out there. As evil as the internet can be and will be, it is also a vital tool for Christians today, because you can access information. You see, the information is there. There's people that can manipulate the information, but they can't erase the information. As soon as something comes in to close down a site, another site, or 10 sites pop up. The effort just requires you to search so that you will know if your pastor is telling you the truth about the Bible. He may think he's telling the truth. What does he know? He goes to a Bible college of your particular denomination. And there's various ways that they get educated in the Bible. And who is educating them? Their teachers. Who are their teachers? They're just still people that want to believe God. And they believe that they do. They believe in the Bible that is the Word of God. But what can you do if the available information to you is corrupt? How are you going to find out the truth if the only material you're going to read is that of your favorite church or that of your favorite pastor? Or you've got your education in your favorite Bible college? What are you going to do if you don't go outside of the box and check it out? Are you so fearful of reading about evil that you will not go out into the world to find the truth? God has prepared the truth for you. It is available to you to receive. But you're not going to receive truth if you go to your Sunday school class and then you go to the service that your pastor's going to preach on. What you may see in a lot of churches nowadays is a fabulous entertainment system. They spend lots of your donated money to make the most elaborate. It could compete easily with the equipment of very famous stars that make lots of money to buy all this stuff. Well, our churches can do it too. Not all churches. Some churches are doing the best they can to get somebody up with a guitar. And it's going to be that person's guitar. But if the church starts getting enough people, then the only thing they can think of, how can we entertain these people? Multimedia presentations. You know, it's kind of fun. You can watch all this stuff. But it costs a lot of money. And what are they doing? The idea of this is try to... What is multimedia? What does it do? What is it affecting? Is it just wonderful? Why do we often like to watch some science fiction movie or some high-tech movies that has all kinds of these special effects? We love these special effects. The more real they make the special effects, the more we like it. A lot of us anyway. Well, I love those special effects movies. What do they do? Multimedia. You have a slide projector putting slides on. Then you have an overhead that could pop in practically automatic. Then you have a video start to run. And so forth and so on. And you have the various modern version captions put up. It's flashing up there on the screen. What is it doing? This stuff that is happening in your church is entering your body via your senses. Satan is attacking your senses. And don't think he's not in the church. The Masons, over 80 years ago, saw a problem in the United States. The problem wasn't so much in other countries. They were doing pretty well because the circumstances in other countries wasn't as it is in the United States. The United States has this kind of thing that we like to call freedom. Whereas even though there are democracies in Europe and so forth and so on, it is general, they got centuries of conditioning to certain kind of presentations. And so Masons already are able to get into the systems over there. But there are certain things they were way behind of because the way that they were doing things in the United States was not making a dent. So they got to thinking, you know, we need to take over a few things in America. We need to get the money. So we need to get to own the banks. We need to get control of all the media sources. And we need to get into the church in the United States. So they began setting goals. And this all began over probably about 90 years ago. I've been saying 80 a long time ago, but you know, another 10 years of pastoring. A lot less hair than I had before. So it's probably getting in the neighborhood of 90 years ago that the Masons sat down and they set goals for the United States of America. And they succeeded in every one of them. They wanted to own the economic system. They got their wish on that because they know how to do it. They wanted to control the media. They're really good at that. They wanted to manipulate public opinion through various polls. And the polls simply are to check what you're doing to see if you've come along to a point where they can then begin to do something else. And they manipulate the polls so that we have this idea that there's always about a 50-50 split. You know, there might be 90% that don't like Bush, but it looks like a 50-50%. So, I mean, and how are they doing this? Through your senses. One important thing that they really wanted to do, even above some of these others, is to do something about the USA Church. There's a lot of things about the USA Church that you don't seem to understand. Now, we see movies about Quakers. We know that there's places where there's a lot of Quakers around and everything. And there's some other kind of stuff. We look at there and we say, you know, we don't necessarily condemn them. Or we don't really want to be like them, as it were. They're so strict. You know, there's lots of movies made about them, so we get some idea what they're like. Some people know a little bit more because you actually go into them. But what we generally get this idea is that they're just a rule book. There's a lot of don'ts. Most of their life is a don't life. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. When you look at these Puritan-like people, not to say anything's wrong with that, if people's going to be there, hey, you know, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you die, you go to heaven. See, that's how it works. When you die, you go through death's gate. That death gate has something in it. It is not just to open the door and walk through and you're there. It's a long place where you get scrubbed in the blood of Jesus. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. The literal. Right now we like to talk about the spiritual washing in the blood. We get saved. We're washing the blood, so we're walking around saying we're clean. That's a whistle, you know. You're not, you filthy rats. You got so much muck on you, it's just terrible. You can't even see anything. You've got these guessing games going on and wishing games. You're reading all kinds of material that is Satan counterfeits. And you're letting your five senses, but there are more than that, enter into your body to teach you things that are not true. Because you believe them because your senses tell you so. You see, you hear, you taste, you touch, you smell. And there's more senses. You need to understand that there are things happening. The Masons looked at the USA Church and said, we need to get 33rd degree Masons into high places in the church, and in their one, the main particular goal they have is to get them into Sunday school to be teachers, teaching Sunday school. You can look at your various Sundays. We don't have any Masons. You think Masons are going to tell you that? Do you think every single Sunday school teacher is going to be a Mason? There's key places. There's key timing that they insert these 33rd degree Masons. And so they set a goal to get as many 33rd degree Masons as they can into teaching us the Bible. And they know the Bible. You're illiterate compared to what these people that have that are 33rd degree Masons know about teaching the Bible. There's people like Billy Graham. I bet you most of you would swear to your death that he's a really good Christian. 20 to 33rd degree Mason. Look at all these thousands and thousands, maybe millions have come to Jesus through Billy Graham. Now these millions are out there. One of these days, you're going to have this knowledge that he wasn't a Christian at all. However, that's going to manifest itself. What he's been doing is feeding information. You give enough of the truth, and you can believe it. You accept the lies that come with the truth. Most all household name ministers today are 33rd degree Masons. Bush is the 33rd degree Mason. If you're looking for a demon behind every bush, you do. That is a very good and true statement. There's a demon behind every bush. Grandpa Bush, Father Bush, and Son Bush. Boy, but what we hear on the news, what do we hear from Christians often on the boob tube back here? You hear he's a born-again Christian. How can you be a born-again Christian when you're a 33rd degree Mason? How is that possible? You cannot be a 33rd degree Mason unless you believe Lucifer never fell and that Lucifer is God and that the God of the Bible is the evil dark God. If you don't believe that, then you're not ever going to be a 33rd degree Mason. Now if you're really low-level Mason, then you might, it's like going to church sometimes, bringing the Word of God up, even praying and so forth. It sounds like you're having a camp meeting almost sometime. And so it's so easy. So-and-so, my grandpa was one, and so forth. You have this kind of feeling. They're just helping the community. Just kind of like where the brothers get together and we turn on, watch it. Everybody loves Rain. And they go to this men's club, as it were. And they sit around. That's kind of what we think of Mason. They go to this kind of place, sit around, maybe sit in one of those sauna things and whatever, and so forth, just talk about things. And that's not what Masons are about. Masons have been around ever since the flood by other names. But they're the ones that say, they're the ones that have the claim that they can trace their background to the flood, which means we have the second flood. The first flood was when God made Adam and Eve. That flood was done because there was something going on before that flood. The earth wasn't always covered in water, and then God made the light, and he brought dry land, and made all the animals and fishes and stuff. There was something before all this. The universe wasn't too good shape. And so lots of things had to be wiped out, including Earth. And then it was started over. Then we have the second flood. We already know that one of Noah's sons was caught in sin. What was it? Uncovered his father's nakedness or something like that? He became the black sheep, possibly. Very likely, if we were trying to analyze how come the Masons, how does it work that they can claim that the first secret club society started after the flood? Well, that's a good possibility. If you're the outcast in your family, then maybe you simply would like the stuff that was going on before the flood. And this is essentially what the Masons are doing. Whether it's true of if they could trace their thing all the way back to there. Whether it's true that before the flood was an Atlantis-like area, in the, when Adam and Eve came out of the garden and there's 1,000 years, do you think mankind is just going to be dumb and stupid? One of the children of Adam and Eve can't grow crops. Curse was put on him. He can't do that stuff. He went on out and built cities and so forth and so on. He became an inventor. And he had 1,000 years. Everybody lived 1,000 years. What are you going to do? Look how much we could do when we only got, less than 100 years. With every single new group of people, we have to train them all over again. And then they all die off, we've got to train them. You don't have to do that in the previous time. In Noah's age, Because you didn't die. You lived to be pretty old. And so you don't have to reteach and reteach. Just the new people come in and they don't have to worry about dying off and not having the knowledge anymore. Something happened. And you could piece together a lot of stuff. Whatever the Masons claim that they set a goal to reestablish the days of Noah. And they've worked ever since, 5,000 years up to now, to do this very thing. And they're going to do it through your senses. The Bible, in modern version form, is a Satan counterfeit. When you studied, when the Bible was made, you got two versions that was translated into Latin Vulgate. You had one version from the received text, which is the copies of the original, handwritten copies of the original manuscripts. Then you had another corrupt version, which is basically designed to take Christ out of Jesus. That was also translated into Latin Vulgate and was not seen. The received text was used way up into almost the 16th century, off and on, bits and pieces of it, and so forth and so on. The corrupt version was discovered in the 15th century, and the Jesuit general ordered the Pope, make this your official Bible with all their deception and all this kind of stuff. It became the official Bible of the Catholic Church until this day. Then we had, in 1880, Westcott and Hort got a hold of the corrupt version, translated into Greek, translated back to English, and their influence and their sneakery and trickery, they got it to become the official Church of England Bible. And from the official version of the Church of England's Bible, all modern versions come from having 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. Pretty easy. If you go online and get a comparison, you could get just several versions or so, a few versions of other modern versions, and set it up to the King James Version. The King James Version seemed to go way out of its way to make Jesus God. And so many other things that make God who He is and Jesus who He is. Then you look at the modern version and compare the two, and half the sentences are gone. You get rid of the Christness of Jesus, and over a period of time, as you're reading, so subtly, it is taking Christ out of Jesus that you're conditioned. And the modern versions can only work in our day, because Jesus is going to come back. There's going to be a group of people that are going to be alive. You could trick them to believing that man over there is Jesus. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. Simple prayer, get you saved. Now, after you get saved, there's another gift that God has for you, that Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit if you ask Him. And you'll have an initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. You'll feel in better closeness with Him, and lots more other things. So seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then study. Get away from the modern translations. Only the King James Version is the surviving received text that is available for you. And get ready. Your five senses plus other senses that you don't know about are going to be tricked and deceived. See you next week. Hi.